Welcome to As It Is, a 30-minute program designed for English learners. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English. We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world.
First, Christopher Jones Cruz brings us the latest news related to the ceasefire in Syria.
The ceasefire that began in February in Syria is close to collapsing, say those in the conflict. Rebel fighters and politicians opposed to Syrian President Bashar al-Assad have been working together to unseat him. After 5 years, the United States and Russia negotiated a ceasefire. But activists say government and Russian forces violated the ceasefire at least 66 times during a recent 48-hour period. They say almost 100 people, including 7 children and 5 women, were killed in government airstrikes. The rebels say they expect the government to attack them in the city of Aleppo. Basma Kodmani negotiates for the rebels. Peace talks are to begin in Geneva, Switzerland this week. On Sunday, he warned that over the previous 10 days, there had been a serious deterioration to the point where the ceasefire is about to collapse. Both the government and rebels have blamed each other for violating the ceasefire. United Nations officials have said the government has stopped aid to some important towns held by the rebels. There was a sharp increase in fighting during the weekend. On Monday, Islamic State terrorists took back an important town in northern Syria. The town of Al-Rai, close to the border with Turkey, was captured by the militants. Observers said rebels failed in Al-Rai because fighter jets flown by an international coalition failed to support them. Since the end of March, rebels have seized 12 villages from Islamic State militants. The villages are near the Syria-Turkey border. IS did not agree to the ceasefire, which took effect February 27th. On Monday, rebel groups launched attacks in the provinces of Aleppo, Hama, and Latakia. The coastal province of Latakia is controlled by the Alawite sect. Assad is an Alawite. If the ceasefire collapses, peace talks may not take place. Little progress was made in earlier talks. The major issue is the future of President Assad. The rebels say he must leave office and not be part of any transition government. I'm Christopher Jones Cruz.
Next, Anne Ball reports on news from Saudi Arabia.
Saudi Arabia is the only country in the world that does not allow women to drive. And it is likely to stay that way if the country's top religious cleric has his way. Mufti Sheikh Abdul Aziz al-Sheikh argued that allowing women to drive is a dangerous matter that exposes women to evil, according to the Associated Press. What did he mean by that? He said men with weak spirits who are obsessed with women could cause female drivers harm and that family members would not know where the women were. He spoke on the religious channel Al-Mejd. The Saudi kingdom follows an ultra-conservative version of Islam that includes many restrictions on women. Women's rights activists have driven cars to protest the ban, posting images of themselves driving on social media. Some have been arrested. Women must rely on hired male drivers or male relatives to get them to work or to go shopping or anywhere else they might need or want to go. The Los Angeles Times reports that Saudi women are increasingly using the driver service Uber to get around. They do so because the taxi system is described as sometimes chaotic, says the Los Angeles Times. The newspaper says a woman using public transportation alone without a male is often seen as lacking morals. So the country is seeing a rise in smartphone-based ride services. In addition to Uber, Saudi women also use a company called Careem to get around. In addition to not being able to drive or go out alone, women face other restrictions in Saudi Arabia under its form of Islam. The Week website says they are not allowed to mix with men in public places. They cannot open a bank account without their husband's agreement. They must cover up their bodies. Religious police on the streets go after women who show too much of their body or wear too much makeup. Many public buildings have separate entrances for men and women, according to the Daily Telegraph. This is because women can only spend limited time with men who are not family members. If there is unlawful mixing, the newspaper says, criminal charges can be filed against both parties, but usually the women get a stronger punishment. But progress is being made in at least one area. For the first time, women could vote and run for office in local elections in 2015. It was only the third time elections have been held in Saudi Arabia for either women or men. I'm Ann Ball.
A new report says that Americans pay far less in taxes than Europeans. Jim Dresbach has the story.
Taxpayers in America pay less in income tax than many Europeans, according to a Pew Research Center report. Belgium has the highest income tax rate at nearly 56% of income, according to the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, or OECD. Taxpayers in the U.S. pay less than 36% of their incomes into the national treasury. Taxes pay for services provided by the government. The U.S. ranks 25th of the 34 developed countries polled in the report. An unmarried person with no children was used as an example in the report. In America, an unmarried person with no children, making the average wage of $50,000 in 2014, paid 24.8% of their income in federal income tax and payroll taxes. A similar person living in Belgium would pay 42.3% of their income. The average among the 39 countries in the poll was 27.3% income tax. South Korea and Canada had two of the lowest tax rates. The tax rate in South Korea for a married couple with two children is between 10% and 20%. An unmarried person in Canada with two children has a tax rate below 10%. The deadline to pay taxes in America is usually April 15th. This year, the deadline is April 18th. American taxpayers complain that wealthy people and corporations pay too little tax, according to a Pew Research Center poll from 2015. Americans pay tax to fund programs like Social Security and Medicaid, according to the Pew Research Center. Last year, American taxes paid for $888 billion in Social Security benefits. Social Security pays the elderly an income after they stop working. The government also paid more than $546 billion in Medicaid and Medicare benefits. Those programs pay for health and medical care to people who cannot afford it, according to the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. I'm Jim Dresbach.
Next, Katie Weaver brings us this week's Personal Technology Report.
Does your mobile phone's battery die more quickly than it once did? Apps may be the problem. Even if you did not add new apps to your phone, an app update alone can use lots of battery power. But you can check your apps to see how much battery they have been using. If an app you do not use much requires a lot of battery power, you might want to remove it from your phone. To check an iPhone or iPad, open the Settings app, then go to Battery. Recent battery use percentages for each app will appear. The device measures use in the last 24 hours and last 7 days. You can also see whether an app has been using battery life to update. Tap on the clock icon for either last 24 hours or last 7 days. That will show how much time the app has been open on your screen and how much time it has spent working. Android phones can show you which apps have used the most battery recently. Note that different versions of the Android operating system may have different settings. Open the Settings app, tap Battery. In older Androids, go to Settings, then Device, then Battery. Another path might be Settings, to Power, to Battery Use. Scroll down to see which phone functions are using your battery most. The list will include recently used apps. Each app has a percentage to show you how much battery it has used lately. You may see an app that has used a lot of battery, although you have not used the app much. You can force a stop to that app to prevent it from using more battery. To force the app to stop, tap on it in the list. A screen with a button image will appear. A touch of the button will stop the app. You can also report the app to Google. Below the button is a list of more information about how much power and data the app used. I'm Katie Weaver.
The dreamy 10-day California Music Festival, Coachella, opens Friday, starring three very different artists. Electronic rock band LCD Sound System headlines Friday nights. The classic heavy metal band Guns N' Roses is the main performer for Saturdays. And Sundays feature Scottish DJ and singer Calvin Harris. LCD Sound System broke up in 2011, but last year the group released a single. The band's reunion was announced soon after. Now they are on tour, including appearances at several music fests. The band has won three Grammy Awards, including one in 2006 for the song Daft Punk is Playing at My House. Daft Punk is another popular electronic band. Guns N' Roses has been around since 1985 and won huge success early on. Band members have come and gone and come again. The song Sweet Child of Mine was the group's only song to go to number one on Billboard magazine's Hot 100 list of popular songs. Lead singer Axl Rose wrote it for his love interest at the time. Some of the band members did not like the song at first, but it helped Guns N' Roses cross over to non-rock radio play. It also helped sell 30 million copies of the group's first album, Appetite for Destruction. Calvin Harris has played Coachella before, but this is his first headline appearance. It is also the first time a DJ has starred at the festival. It is not a surprising choice for Coachella organizers, however. In 2014, Harris reportedly attracted the second largest crowd ever at the event. This year, maybe he will break the record. It would not hurt if his girlfriend attends the festival. She happens to be America's top earning performer, Taylor Swift. Harris and Swift just celebrated their first anniversary last month. Coachella takes place in the desert town of Indio, California. It runs through April 24th. I'm Dorothy Gundy.
This is What's Trending Today. A young woman from Australia posted an unusual snowboarding video to social media earlier this week. Kelly Murphy says she recorded the video during a visit to a ski area in Japan. She used a selfie stick to take pictures of herself snowboarding down a mountain. When she played back the video, she got a big surprise. Murphy is seen listening to music on her headphones. The video shows Murphy connecting her boots to the snowboard. She pushes off and starts down the mountain. And the next thing you hear is a loud noise. At first, you do not see what is making the noise, but then the camera angle changes. It looks like she is being chased by a bear. The animal is running at full speed, and Murphy is not moving very fast. It looks like she might be caught. You hear more sounds from the angry bear. She continues down the mountain, and the image of the bear grows smaller in the distance. At the bottom of the hill, Murphy slows down and turns off the camera. Murphy says she posted the video to YouTube because when she played it back, she could not believe what she saw. The video already has 4 million views in only 3 days. But a lot of people want to know if the pictures of the running bear were real. some people think they were not. They think Murphy or her friends used a computer program to add the bare images and sound effects to the original video. And that's what's trending today. I'm Dan Friedel.
Place names in the United States are a hodgepodge, a seemingly random collection of different languages. This can make pronunciation a bit difficult, even for people who live here. From the Pacific Northwest to the Eastern Shores, some names are infamous in this regard. Let's talk about 12 of them. We begin in the Pacific Northwest. As with most parts of the United States, this area is heavily influenced by its rich Native American history and culture. Number 1, Spokane, Washington. The correct pronunciation is Spokane, not Spokane. The name Spokane comes from a Native American tribe. It means children of the sun. This city is located in the northwestern part of the United States. Spokane is known for its natural beauty. The residents are very outdoorsy, meaning they like to enjoy outdoor activities like hiking and biking. Moving down the coast, we come to California. Many names in this state come from early Spanish settlers.
Number 2, La Jolla, California. This sun-drenched town is commonly mispronounced La Jolla, but the correct pronunciation is La Jolla. La Jolla is a seaside community located within the city of San Diego, California. It is still unclear whether La Jolla's name comes from the Spanish word La Jolla, meaning the jewel, or from the Native American term meaning hole in the mountains. But moving east across the United States, we come to not a state, but a national park.
Number 3, Yosemite National Park. This national park is grand and beautiful, and often mispronounced. It is not Yosemite or Yosemite, but rather Yosemite. At the end, don't forget to say the T. Yosemite National Park is set within California's Sierra Nevada Mountains. This park is known for its giant ancient sequoia trees and for other breathtaking mountain scenes. Photographer Ansel Adams is famous for his black and white photographs of this national treasure.
Number 4. Helena, Montana. The capital city of Montana is pronounced Helena, not Helena. That is how most women named Helena say their name. Helena is located at the foothills of the Rocky Mountains, between Yellowstone and Glacier National Parks. However, the city's founders did not come for the scenery. They came to look for gold. It was first called St. Helena, but the locals dropped the saint and kept Helena. Besides its gold rush history, Helena is also a popular destination for people who like to do things outdoors, such as hiking, biking, fishing, and camping. Helena is known for its trail system, 120 kilometers of hiking and biking trails. Moving inland, we come to a state that does not sound as it is spelled.
Number 5, Arkansas. The name Arkansas means south wind. It comes from a word used by some Native Americans to describe an early tribe in the area. The pronunciation Arkansas follows the French custom of not pronouncing the final S.
This state is known for its rich mineral reserves and natural beauty. But the city of Hope, Arkansas, is more famously known as the birthplace of former U.S. President Bill Clinton.
Number 6, Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. This is a college town in the eastern state of Pennsylvania. The E at the end may confuse some people. It is not Wilkes-Barre, but rather Wilkes-Barre. Do not drop the last E, as common sense and French speakers would suggest.
Number 7, Schenectady, New York. This city in New York State is pronounced Schenectady. The Mohawk tribe of the Iroquois Nation originally called this area Schenectada, meaning over the Pine Plains. As Dutch settlers came to the area in the 17th century, the spelling changed. The great inventor Thomas Edison founded the General Electric Company in this city. In the 1900s, the American Locomotive Company also made most of its trains there. Now we move from upstate New York into New York City. In the Big Apple, as it is called, there are two names that are often mispronounced.
Number 8, Houston Street, New York City. Houston is a big city in the state of Texas. But if you are on a street in New York City's funky Lower East Side, you do not pronounce it that way. Pronounce it Houston Street, and you will keep your street cred.
Number 9, Carnegie Hall. Also, while visiting New York City, if you attend a music show at this famous concert hall, make sure to pronounce it properly. It is Carnegie, not Carnegie. The stress is on the middle syllable.
Number 10, Worcester, Massachusetts. Like the city of the same name in England, the correct pronunciation is Worcester. It is not Worcester or Worcester. Incorporated as a town in 1722, Worcester, Massachusetts is now a vibrant, bustling city with a population of over 180,000. This makes it one of the largest cities in New England. Now we move to the South.
Number 11, Louisville, Kentucky. If you want to sound like a true Southerner, pronounce this city in Kentucky as Louisville, not Louisville, and definitely not Louisville. If you do, they will think you're a Yankee from the North. Louisville is historically a mining and agricultural city, and its position on the Ohio River also made it an important hub for transporting goods by water. These days, the city has a diverse and vibrant economy. Louisville is also famous as the home of the Kentucky Derby horse race.
Number 12, Kissimmee, Florida. This one is easy to remember. You are not asking for someone to kiss you, so do not say Kissimmee, it's Kissimmee. This city is located in the center of Florida. This is another name that comes from a Native American tribe. However, it is not known whether Kissimmee means long waters, as in the Kissimmee River, or if it refers to the place where mulberries grow. But we do know the name has nothing to do with kissing. And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.